Blog Talk Radio.
All right, Marcus.
Yes, sometimes I have to whip myself in shape, myself in form. It's been two minutes I've been talking and didn't even have a mic on. This is Open Talk with Les Jackson. Our prayers go out to the Arteaga family right now, who are going through a little something-something. But our prayers are with you. I want to say happy birthday to all my friends on Facebook, Twitter, blogtalkradio.com, as always. We are going to talk about part three. The State of Black America, Crime and Punishment. We want to talk about crime and punishment today. You can call in at 718-664-9476. I hate that I wasted that 2 minutes of dead air, but then I had to wait for the other stream to catch up with this stream so it would all loop in together. That is the beauty of sitting back and doing it the way we're doing it now, because we're able to sit back and sometimes we have to delay here in order to get there, or we have to delay there to get here. But let's get this thing started. We want to talk about crime and punishment, because recently we found out that not only does this happen in big cities, but it also happens in small towns. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the report that came out of Ferguson, the actual federal grand jury's report that sat back and cited that what Ferguson was doing was actually running a, and it should be called what it is. They had a cash cow. They had a cash cow. And they were sitting back and they were putting the black population there. They were putting them in jail just to raise money, just to keep it up and to be number one in the county. You should read that report if you haven't read it in its entirety. It is very interesting why they were doing what they were doing, and yet nobody is being held accountable. Nobody's getting any jail time. They're just leaving the job to go to another job. Now, that wouldn't have worked if it would have been one of us. I'm quite sure we would have had to do some time. Look, Jesse Jackson's son, Jesse Jackson Jr., is scheduled to get out today. Did he take, what was it, took some money? Going for some bribes or something. Anyway, he's done his time. He's on his way home. He should be home by now. He should be home by now, or maybe just, if he's not, he's on the way. But see, this is what I'm talking about when I talk about this crime and punishment, because there is something that goes on, and it happens amongst minorities of all colors. But it happens even more toward blacks. In a report by the Urban League, it said that 70% of blacks say they have been mistreated by the police all across America. That's 10 times higher than our white counterparts, who say they never have that much of a problem. Well, I guess not, because one thing that white America does not do and they refuse to do is to look at the facts. Forget trying to be black. What does it mean to be white? I would ask you to ask yourself, what is it to be white? And And when you start looking at that question, it stumbles a lot of them. But I want to keep this right on point to what I'm talking about, because white America has turned a deaf ear and a blind eye, and they act as if they don't see that there is some injustice that is being committed, and nobody should have to pay because they are white. And it goes back to the old saying, if you're white, you're right. That's the stigma that's in white America's mind. According to the 2000 State of Black America, for years, we have seen men and women locked up at much higher sentences and much higher bail amounts if they're black opposed to the white counterpart. No one, of course, will go on the record and say that. Nobody will sit back and admit to that. But if you sit back and just do the numbers, tally it up, when they release the numbers, you tally it up. And the only reason a lot of them won't say anything publicly is because they're afraid they'll lose their jobs. But just tally it up for yourself. It reports that while we make up 30% of the population, out of that 30%, 60% of that population is in the prison system. From 1970 to 2005, the prison population grew 700%, and it's probably a little bit higher now. I want to talk about crime and punishment in black America. From 1980, according to the NAACP, from 1980 to 2008, the number of people incarcerated in America quadrupled, roughly from 500,000 to 2.3 million people. Today, the U.S. is 5% of the world population, and it has 25% of the world's prisoners. Huh? Whoa, hold on, go back, Les, because earlier, just a minute ago, you sat back and I did make this statement. Didn't I make the statement? I said something about, and out of the 30% of us, 60% of that 30 is in prison, and isn't it something like, what is it, something like 12 million black people? So you've got more than a third. You got more than probably a third of the black community, men, as well as some women, that are in prison right now. Oh, the numbers get worse. Combining the numbers of people in prison and jails with those under parole or probation supervision, one in every 31 adults, or 3.2% of the population, is under some form of correctional control. Uh-oh, whoa. Now, this is just a trend in America. Now, let's look and examine how that measures up to the blacks. Let's look at this from a black perspective. African Americans now constitute nearly 1 million of the 2.3 million people that are incarcerated. Fact. African Americans are incarcerated nearly six times the rate of whites. Now in 2015, since this was based on 2008 statistics, as of 2015, it has now went up 2%, and now it's 10%. So I want to correct that. I want to put that up because somebody will call and say, oh, no, it's higher, it's higher. Yes, it is. It's 2%. We went up higher. We went up 2 extra percent. Together, African Americans and Hispanics comprise 58% of all prisoners, and that was in 2008, even though African Americans and Hispanics make up approximately one quarter of the U.S. population. Think about that now. Think about that. We only make up together, Hispanics and African Americans only make up a quarter of the U.S. population. One quarter, 25%. And yet 58% of all prisoners, and this was back in 2008, I know it's gone up now, make up 58%. According to Unlocking America, if African Americans and Hispanics were incarcerated at the same rate of whites, today's prisons and jail population would decline by approximately 50%. Did you hear me? Did you hear what I just said? It would decline by 50%. This is according to a study done by the NAACP, 2008. And we know it's probably a little bit higher now. So you can kind of just add a couple of percentage points to that. You can call in right now, 718-664-9476. Like I say, it's the fastest half hour on radio, and we're only going to be on here for a half hour today, and then we're going to run. Here's some more statistics. One in six black men have been incarcerated as of 2001. If the current trend continues, one in three black males born today can expect to spend time in prison during his lifetime. Uh-oh. And somebody tell me, something in the milk ain't clean. Something in the milk don't smell too good. And like I said, this is not something that's just happening because blacks are committing these heinous crimes. Many of the prisoners that are in jail right now are incarcerated for petty ante crimes. We just tend to get harsher punishment than our white counterparts. And oh, they'll sit back and tell you, they will say, oh, no, the law is the same for everybody and it's equal rights for everybody. Don't believe that lie. Don't believe the hype, because it's not. It's not. You just look at it. You just look at it for yourself. I have watched people commit the same crime. One is white, one is black. The white one gets 6 years. The black one get 20. The only way they really give white folks a whole bunch of time for some of the same crimes is they have to be serial killers. 1 in 100 African-American women are in prison. 1 in 100. I was kind of shocked when I seen that. And in one way, I was saying to myself when I first saw it, I said, that ain't bad. But then I had to look at how many black women were there. How many black women are there in America? And when you start looking at it, it takes a whole new directional meaning. It takes a whole new look. It takes a whole new twist. Because you start seeing roughly how disproportioned and how corrupt this system is. 111111, good afternoon. How are you?
Hello, Liz.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine. If you take a report from Ferguson and how those people were getting treated and records and going to jail, how do you get statistics out of that? They were created.
How do you get statistics out of it?
They were created, yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's very simple. What you do is you sit back. They report to the federal. They report to the federal justice every year.
But they were not criminals.
And they write down how many they lock up. And we already know that since Ferguson is like, what, 76% black? And it's only like 23% white in Ferguson.
Were they committing crimes or they were putting crimes on them?
They wasn't putting crimes. They were arresting them for petty crimes, and they were milking them for the money because St. Louis County has this twisted thing going on amongst these little small counties to see who can raise the most revenue, because they're poor cities. They're cities that are impoverished. And so what has happened, Mays, is they sat back, and Ferguson was beating everybody out. They had like a bet going on. We can make more money off of our black folks than you can make off of yours. And that's really what it boiled down to.
Yeah, and so that's where you get your numbers. But unless I have something, where's the Ford Center in Detroit?
Where's what now?
The Ford Center.
The Ford Center?
Yes.
Which Ford Center? I mean, are you
the
talking about the headquarters?
No, where they do the car shows and all that stuff.
Oh, you talking about the Cobo Hall?
Yes.
Yeah,
is anything
Cobo
going
Hall
on there
in downtown Detroit.
Is anything going on
right
there this
there
week?
On the river.
Is anything going on there this week?
Yes. Something going on here every week down in Cobo.
But it's something I want you to go down there and do. So
what's
what
that?
I told you yesterday, it's called Yes We Code. It's a whole lot of children down there. And I want you to go down there, and if you happen to see the person that's Joy, tell her I said hello. But I want you to go step in the door and see what you're missing out on. And then could you come back and tell us how many kids you see with their pants hanging out, or you see how many of them are into technology? And you'll find out what code it is.
You know what we're going to see in Mays? This is what I was saying on yesterday. We have to encourage, and this is what this whole thing was about. This is what this whole thing is about, encouraging our children. We have
to
encourage our children to start getting more into technology and more into science.
No, Les. I'm explaining something to you. See, I've seen it. I want you to go see it.
Oh, I will.
I want you to go and come back and report to the people that you're talking to now what you saw and what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have some great children. Look, Mays, I'm not saying that they are not great children, but when you look at if you look at it on a big picture, on an overall scale, I'm telling you, the scale is not that great.
When you go,
it's not that great. They are begging black kids right now, please come and get into science. Please get into the simpler things, because it's alive. You think you're going to the NBA or the NFL?
No.
Because less than 1% of the people that go to college, period, make it to those things.
It's in your
and
city.
And we have
go
to start looking at it. They
it's
are already sitting back, and they have a disaster program set up right now that they're working on to incarcerate even more black men and women.
Less. Would you go? Because there's an epidemic of coke in this country now, and it's not no black kids. That's why they're trying to stop it. So you go over there and get into Less We Code and see what those children are doing and how much money they're going to make for doing it. And they're young kids, too. And by the time they get finished with what they're doing, and you see you'll be amazed with your ass.
You know what? Amazed.
Go.
I'm not sitting back saying that black children are not accomplishing.
No.
We are accomplishing some great things.
But what I want you to do is see it, Les. And you see what kind of people they're going to have.
I mean, I see people every day. I watch. I live right down the street from an academy where they have almost a 99% graduation going to college ratio.
Well,
but
I just don't
look
at it.
I still see a bunch of kids just falling by the wayside. And I'm not here for those that are doing it.
But, Jess, do you know what
I am very happy and proud of them. But there is another number out fail to recognize, and I have to open my eyes and say, overall, we are failing. It is not looking bright.
Les, that's why you're thinking, if you go in there, you can tell us how bright it is after you come. I can't discuss it with you unless you go.
Okay,
and
well,
you come
I will
back
go
and tell
down,
what,
I will look
what the
at
future
it.
Holds. Mm-hmm.
I will take a look at it. But maybe there is nothing right now that anyone can show me. I mean, I can watch 1,000 black kids walk across a stage right now.
You're going to see what they are doing.
I can watch 1,000 black children walk across a stage.
Les, you give me an excuse, but just go, and then we can discuss it after you go, okay? Because I've seen
okay,
some of them.
Okay, Mace.
And I've seen it in
all
action.
Right.
When you do.
Okay, Mace. Anyway, let me get on with the show, because I don't want to keep
you
on
have a good,
talking about beating this dead horse in the head. Anyway, back to the statistics. Let me get into this. Nationwide, African Americans represent, and listen here, 26% of juvenile arrest. 44% of youth who are detained. 46% of the youth who are waived to criminal court. 58% of youth admitted to state prisons, centers on juvenile and criminal justice. I mean, we can't deny these facts, folks. It's no sense in us acting as if it's not happening. It's happening. It's going down. And it's going down in fine fashion. And these numbers, like I said, the numbers, yes, I can go find children that are achieving great things. But when I'm sitting back and I'm looking out of 100% and I'm seeing that 58%, it ain't taking me too much to find out that these numbers are getting worse and worse. And that was 2000. Like I said, this report was from 2008. It is going up. I was reading something in one of the journals last night, an education journal, and it was talking about how only about out of like it was something like out of all the people that was graduating, this school had something like 100 people or something that walked across the stage. Only 10 of them ended up going to college. Only 10 of them. And it broke my heart. And it was addressed at the black sector. And I sat back and I almost had tears in my eyes. About 14 million whites and 2.6 million African Americans report using an illicit drug. 14 million whites to 2.6 million blacks, and five times as many whites are using drugs, yet blacks are sent to prison on drug offenses 10 times faster than whites. Somebody explain to me, how can we be smoking the same thing? And it's more of you smoking it, but yet we got the 10 times higher ratio of going into prison. I just want to bring these things to your attention because we are in trouble. We are in trouble. Blacks represent 12% of the total population of drug users, but 38% of those arrested for drug offenses, and 59% of those are in state prisons for drug offenses. We are putting people away, folks. They are putting blacks away on drug offenses, things that our white counterparts can get away with, and they will sit back and get a slap on the wrist, as I like to put it, when we sit back and they're filling up our jails. Black Americans serve virtually much more time in prison for drug offenses, 58.7 months, as opposed to whites that do violent crimes, and they only do 61.7 months. That's very, very interesting, my people. I am telling you right now, it's very, very interesting. Those are startling statistics. Here's something for food for thought. They are building, and they've built right now, construction on the sixth mega prison. It shackles 1 million people. There are 5 already throughout the United States. Number 6 is going up. And guess what, folks? Guess who they're for? They're for all of us that are going to start this revolution. All of us that are going to get into this revolutionary state, because I'm telling you, at the rate that it's going and at the divide that's being made amongst white and black now, the division which is being made is going to cause a civil war. Now, you mark my words. You mark my words, if things keep on going at the rate that they're going, we will have another civil war right here in America, and it'll all be started over race relations, because nobody wanted to sit back and talk about it. White folks don't see it because they're just colorblind. They're stuck on being white. And black folks, we want to do something about it, but we kind of iffy. We won't stand up enough, and we won't petition enough of our congressmen, and we keep on voting on this name recognition stuff, and we gotta better educate ourselves on what is really going on, and we need to start asking them, we need to start probing them, asking them questions, why? Also, we need to sit back, and there must be some type of reevaluation training that these police should go through on a rigorous base at least every year. At least every year. So we can find out the mental attitude and how they actually feel towards working in our communities. I was listening to our mayor as Travis Smiley has been here for the whole week doing a documentary, and he's also been taping his show here all week. And, you know, it's amazing. There are some great things. I can say some great things have happened since we got a white mayor in there. I mean, it seems like to me he's done more in 6 months than I've seen done in the last 12 years. And I asked myself, how could it be that this man just blew up in here? Well, one thing, he brought white America back in here with him. He brought white America back in here with him, and they have a plan. They have a distinct plan. And, of course, nobody knows it, because they're not going to come out and just tell you blatantly, we have this plan devised where we're going to get y'all into a section of the city to where y'all can just do whatever you want. You want to tear it up, tear it up. If you want to sit back and burn it down, you can burn it down. We don't care. But we got a plan. And I knew it was going to happen. Everybody running around here talking about bankruptcy. I knew good and well. You know what? One of the biggest farces they threw out on the people, that Detroit was so bankrupt. Detroit was not as broke as people thought it was. That's another lie that the white folks done put out there, trying to get something, trying to make everybody feel like, see, you get all these black folks, and they can't even run their thing. They can't control it. Another perpetration. Until tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to put everything together. I want to thank Maze for coming on the show today. And I want to sit back tomorrow. We're going to put everything, we're going to wrap it all up. We're going to put a summary to this thing. And we're going to talk about some of the great things that blacks are doing. Because there are some things that we are doing, but that's what we hear every time we get these reports. And it's time out to worry about how good we're doing. We haven't come that far away from slavery. And we got to stop acting as if we have. It's time that we sit back and start smelling the coffee. We're still in trouble. We are still in trouble. We are on the endangered species list. And we have to recognize that. Yes, I am your host, Les Jackson. Let me get up out of here until tomorrow. I've got to do some taping tonight for our show on Monday night, which airs on KKRP AM 1610 from 6 to 8 Eastern Standard Time, from 5 to 7 Central Standard Time. And wherever you are in the world, you'll be able to get it by way of your satellite. But we have to sit back and get this taping done tonight and get it into the studio and do all the stuff we have to do in order to have this show running good and smooth. So until tomorrow, I just want to say try to get through the day without hurting anybody. And, yes, Maze, I'm going down. I'm going to check them out. I'm going to give you an eyewitness report. I'm going to give you an eyewitness report on what I saw, because I'm quite sure I'm going to see some of the things I already know. Things that I already know. But I'll check it out. I will definitely check it out. And that's for sure. Until tomorrow, have a good one, everybody. I'm up out of here.